So, Malachi 2, give me from verse 13, message. Malachi 2, from verse 13. Today I want to talk to you about what God wants, okay? What God wants. It says, and here's a second offense. You fill the place of worship with your whining and sniveling because you don't get what you want from God. Give me next. It says, do you know why? Simple. Because God was there as a witness when you spoke your marriage vows to your young bride. And now you've broken those vows, broken the faith bond with your vowed companion, your covenant wife. 15. It says, God, not you, made marriage. His spirit inhabits even the smallest details of marriage. And what does he want from marriage? Children of God, that's what. So guard the spirit of marriage within you. Don't cheat on your spouse. Praise God. Everybody just goes, oh. You don't know it was in the Bible before, Abby. It's there. So we're not just telling you don't cheat on your spouse because we want to be wicked. God doesn't want you to cheat. There are two things that I know that God wants in marriage. And it's important that we tell you, especially single people, you know, you have to prepare yourself before you get into the marriage. The Bible says don't make vows without thinking about those vows. Lest God holds you to them. You know, you can promise anything when we're in the mood. When the spirit moves you, don't promise anything. And I shared with you yesterday how people have even personal vows. The kind of deep vows that they are saying to each other. And then 2 months later, you don't remember what you said. When it comes to marriage, you must always put vows above feelings. That's one of the biggest things that will help you in marriage. You must put your vows above your feelings. So when you are in marriage and your husband is annoying you, remember what you said, your vow. When you said, I love you, what you are saying is that I'm choosing to be patient with you. I'm choosing to be kind to you. I'm choosing not to keep any records of wrong. I'm choosing to celebrate you and to believe the best of you. You are literally telling that person every time you say, I love you, you are saying 1 Corinthians 13. That's what you are saying. But you know, we have casualized those words so much that it doesn't make sense anymore. So when you tell somebody, I love you, doesn't connect. They just think it's a feeling. Love is not a feeling and it will never be a feeling. Pascal tried to explain that yesterday, so I won't go into it. But this morning, what I want to talk to you about is how important these two things God is saying. There are two things God really, really wants in marriage. And the first thing is God wants you to be faithful. Now, I'm an infidelity recovery specialist, and I have worked with many marriages that there has been cheating. And a lot of times, you see, what happens is that people don't understand how devastating it is on the other person and why God hates cheating so much. It's not just a sexual act. It's not just a sleep and clean mouth. Nobody go know. Do they measure it? How would they know? See, Satan is very smart. And I said to you yesterday that the person you're playing with is not playing with you. Satan is not just a nuisance, he's an enemy. And the difference between a nuisance and an enemy is that a nuisance wants to annoy you, but an enemy wants to destroy you. So Satan has come to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And he will not be satisfied until you are dead. And that's why I always laugh at people when they think, oh, Satan is just making me sick. His end goal is not to make you sick. It is to kill you. He wants to steal your money. You will pay medical bills, and that will not be enough for him because he's wicked. One of my friends will say, Satan is a bad Satan. For lack of a better description, the devil is a bad devil. He wants to destroy you, and he wants to kill you. That's his plan. But we as Christians sometimes treat him as if, oh, he just wants to annoy me. Satan is getting on my nerves. No, he's not getting on your nerves. He's your enemy. He's out to get you, whether you like it or not. So Satan comes with the lie that sex is nothing. And so a lot of young men have fallen into that trap. And listen, if you are single here and you are a man, I need to speak to you this morning. Virginity and sexual purity is not for women. It's for everybody. If men will stop putting pressure on women, there will be more virgins in the world. Both sexes. God wants you to keep yourself pure, sexually pure, whether you are male or female. And the discipline you build before you get married is the discipline that you will use in marriage. Contrary to what you think, married men are more attractive than single men. You think that girls like you now because you're a fine boy. Get married first. Let one woman work on you. make you fresh, give you food, pray for you. You have the money. They've done all the work. Then you see all the small, small demons. And they call themselves side chicks. They'll be coming out from everywhere. Even people that when you were single, you were toasting them. They did not look at you twice. That's when they will come out and be explaining who they are. You remember, we met at, who cares where you met? Antipas. So, if you do not work on developing your self-control, it will affect your marriage. Second thing, why Satan pushes sex as a, it's not a big deal, is because he wants to destroy you. Bible says that the adulterous woman will hunt for the precious soul. And adultery will reduce you to a piece of bread. You will become common. So all these things that men think that, oh, I'm the one, now me they chop up. Now you they chop. They are eating your destiny and cleaning mouth. So that's what they say, you are playing women. Satan is playing you. He's destroying you. And you are letting yourself open for all kinds of things. For diseases, for influence of spirits, all kinds of things are going on. And you are being distracted. And let me tell you, there's a destiny he's after. Tomorrow you'll become something great, but then you will have a secret you will always hide. Is that the kind of life that you want to live? And so God says, when you get married, I want you to guard the spirit of marriage. Don't cheat on your spouse, whether you're male or female. And let me tell you, men, I'm in this business, eh? Counseling couples. Women cheat more than men. Yes. Women cheat more than men. And let me also say this, because I know this one you probably don't know. Married women cheat more. They say men are cheating. Are they cheating with men? It's not women they are cheating with. The average man, except there's something else doing you, the average man is cheating with a woman. And you see, these days, what they do, because you think you're a married man, you're smart. You say, she won't know. As you two, you are going out. She too, she's going out. She has her own plan. And you see, most married women are cheating with other married people because we both have secrets. We don't want to disgrace ourselves. If you are sleeping with a single girl, she can decide to destroy you because she has nothing to lose. But another married woman, you know, say if she talk, you say, get her husband number. So these things are, and unfortunately, they are creeping into the church. And usually, there are men who did not control themselves before they got married. There are women who did not control themselves before they got married. If you can't zip up before you get married, marriage will not change you. Marriage does not change anybody. You will not change, suddenly become, how they say, a lizard before marriage does not become a crocodile. You just become a married lizard. So if you are cheating before marriage, you will cheat after marriage. My husband always says it in a certain way. He says, a fornicator is an adulterer trainee. Yes. Because that thing has become a habit. And so it will enter into marriage with you. So God wants you to be faithful. The things, the damage it does, I don't have time today to start to tell you. People, their mental health literally breaks down. There's disease in the body. Some people develop insomnia, anxiety attacks, PTSD. If you know the women I'm working with, totally destroyed. Why? Because one man cheated on you. And you won't, it may look like, wasn't they there? The damage is a lot. Because what happens is that you're already in covenant. If somebody's married, they're in covenant. And when you take your body and go and join with someone else, you're literally killing the person that you're in covenant with. You are breaking it every day. And what breaks you is death. I don't want to go into all that. The second thing that is very important to God, and I think should be important to all of us, is godly seed. So today I want to talk to you about what God really wants, which is godly seed. God wants godly seed. He wants godly children. He wants children of God. And you can only get children of God from godly parents. And parenting is a high calling. It's a partnership. And it starts from when you are single. When you are picking a partner, you need to ask yourself, is this the kind of person I want to be the mother of my children? Is this the kind of person I want to be the father of my children? Because a lot of people have sacrificed their children's destiny on the altar of marriage. as far as I like him. In fact, the one that even pains me the most is two people that are ASAS will be asking me. We are AS and AS, and we love each other. Should we marry? And you can tell that that's a selfish question. Because what you will produce is SS children. But it doesn't concern you. It doesn't concern you because you're not the one that will have crisis. It doesn't concern you because you're not the one that will be in pain. You say, but we love each other. And now they even have the audacity to give murder a name by saying, oh, Pastor, don't worry, we'll do gender selection. So which of your children will you kill? Jesse, David, Mary, or Josephine? Because every child has a destiny. He says, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. So don't let medical science deceive you into thinking, nah, it doesn't matter, we'll just choose, if we just check and just see that his SS, we'll just take the baby out. One person actually asked me that question. I said, so you want to become a murderer because of marriage? Not that there's no amen in the world, but you are impatient or you are selfish. So as a single person, ask yourself, is this the kind of person that I want to be the father of my children? This is the kind of person. I see the Bible says that everything produces after its kind. That was God's original plan. When he made birds, his plan was that birds would produce after their kind. There are some men, nobody should help them reproduce after their kind. They didn't day, sir. Do you know the meaning of they didn't day? It means they did not day. They are no among. They are no follow. They should, their generation should end with them. Because the amount of evil, frustration, ungodliness should not be moved to the next generation. And you know, the Bible is very clear. The Bible will tell you, and Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac begat Jacob. Jacob begat. Are you not seeing that there's a trend? There's a begatting. Begatting means that whatever he got, he begat it to the next generation. So if he's a man of faith, he will be gutted the way you become. So you'll be God to your children. And your child will take that faith and also be God to the next one. But you do not see man of faith, though. You do not see a man that loves the Lord. You do not see a godly man. You do not see any of that type. You want to carry the one that does not have behavior. And you want to be God him. Some of you should help us to end the nonsense that is going on in this world. It should be your responsibility. So when you are choosing, make up your mind that this person, I can't help this person to reproduce after his kind. And don't be calling us, don't call us to come and talk to anybody. You can't say, see, there are some things you should run away from. When you are single, it's such a beautiful season. I wish people would just enjoy it. When you are single, you can just say, I don't want and be going. When you are married, you'll be there. You will say, pray. Partner with Jesus. He is a son of God too. God loves him too. Confess the word. Buy a pastor's book. Praying for your husband. Bible. That's what you'll be doing. But you see, you can avoid it. Because that your faith, you will use faith. Because the just shall live by his faith. But that your faith, your mates are using to buy house. You are using to correct your husband's head. And if he begat, that means you will do it with your children. And if that one begat, you will do it to your grandchildren. Why do you like to suffer in life? Your mates are using prayer to do great things for God. It's every day. Oh, my husband, do it, do it, do it. God said, when you were saying, I do, now do it. Now me, the call to come do it. Now you do. So from the beginning, that choice of who you marry, because parenting is partnership. It takes two godly people to bring forth godly children. And mind you, when I say godly children, I'm not just talking about well-behaved children. I'm talking about intentionally raising firebrands for Jesus. I'm talking about raising children who will answer the enemy at the gates. I'm talking about raising children who have an understanding of destiny and their calling and their assignment in life. So parenting is partnership. Parenting is not a woman's job. Please help, if you are sitting around a man, help me tell him. There's one man in the Bible that really amuses me. There's a woman in the Bible, the Shunammite, she was a Shunammite woman. And this woman did not have children. She went to her husband and told her husband that, this prophet Elisha that passes here, I perceive in my spirit that he's a man of God. Let's build a house for him. Let's put a table and a chair and a bed and let him be comfortable anytime he passes here. And the husband said, anyone? I'm sure that man was phlegmatic. He said, if you like, build now. It's okay. It's not a problem. She built the house. Elisha entered the house when he saw duplex that they built for him. He said, this woman. He said, no, this venison that my soul loves, I want to prophesy. He said, what do you want? The woman said, I don't want anything. I live among my own people. I do business. I'm okay. He said, can I speak to the king? He said, no, I don't have a problem at all. Then Gehazi, Amebo. May God send Gehazis that can really tell God what you need. Whether it is for his own good or not, she shall do that a favor. Now told the man of God that she doesn't have child. Man of God said, what? If I be man of God. And I said, by this time next year, the woman said, he said, I'm telling you, by this time next year, true to his word, this woman got pregnant. She is a miracle child. She said, when you have a miracle child, everybody should be involved. I still remember when my first daughter, even up to diaper, Pastor K change. You know when you waited for child for a long time? Even up to pampas. Smelling people like this, Pastor K will be changing it with joy. Because you've waited for this child. And so this child was with his father in the field. And one day the boy said, my head. Father said, take him to his mother. Sir, are you with us at all? Are you not the head of this home? They've given you son. You finally begat. They gave you son now. Because it was a major thing. Not like now. In those days, it was a major thing to have sons. She didn't even just give you a child. She gave you sons. Because if you even look at all the lineage, before you will see a woman's name there, it's always men they begat. I don't know whether women were not begat. Or we are just the begatters. Okay. But they don't call women there. This woman gave birth to a son. And brought the son. And the son was useful to him, because the son was with him in the field working. Wow. And then the boy says, my head. He said, take him to his mother. Do you want to marry a take him to his mother? And they took the boy truly to his mother. And his mother laid him. He was there on his mother's lap and he died. Because his father said, take him to his mother. His father did not say, put his hand on his head and say, in the name of Jesus. How can your only hope, your only eye, say my head, you say take him to his mother? And so when I look at men like that, I'm really fascinated when women want to marry. How do you have a challenge? And one of my friends told me she was in labor and her husband was crying. Say she was so angry. He was crying. Hey, how is he doing? She said, no be your mates, now they put on for their wife, but let's say, child, I speak to you, die speedily in the name of Jesus. You are here crying. I say, the problem is when you marry a dog and expect him to be a lion. A dog can only bark, he can't roar. So ask yourself, the person I want to join myself, can he parent with me? Can he sense that, this child, this is what God is saying about this child. This is who this child is going to be. Beyond the physical things. I'm always very intrigued by parents these days. You're looking for the best schools for your children, not the best church. Church, school that they only teach them English. You need to find a church where they can grow in the things of God. Because that's our identity. That's who we really are. All this other school and work and everything, it's not. They will still go back to eternity and meet God and they know nothing about him. So the first thing you need to ask yourself is, this person that I want to pick, can they parent with me? Apart from even spiritual things, physical things, some women know no book, sha. I will go there. Some women know no book. They like makeup. They think makeup is all. Let me tell you, makeup does not do homework. And the homework they used to give in school these days, it's not the children, no. It's the parents. It's as if they're saying, you want rest. You send your children to school morning to night, you go walk. I think they are doing revenge. If you see the homework they give them, they meet them, they will not give them project. When I was growing up, it's university they used to do project though. Now, and it's project the children cannot understand. Mommy, I say, see, you carry this back to your teacher because people cannot frustrate me. May you not do homework with your children and they fail it in school. An interesting thing. Give me Genesis 18:19. And the interesting thing, give it to me in New King James. And the interesting thing is that scientists have found out that children take their mother's brain. So if your wife, when you won't marry, no book. Sir, I'm just saying, we consider. Because it will be a disaster if you're picking no book. Genesis 18:19. Like I said, parenting is not a woman's job. It's a partnership. And it's a high calling. This is God speaking here. He says, for I have known him. I was talking about Abraham. In order that he may command his children and his household after him. That he may command them after him. Not follow your mother to church. And before you go downstairs, buy me 2 bottles of beer. That's what you want to marry. God boasting about Abraham. He said he will come out. He didn't say Sarah. I don't know where the church got it that women raise children. We raise them, but daddy, you are the one that gives them identity. We may nurture them, but you give them their nature. They should see that daddy is submitted to God. They should see you on your face worshiping God, so they know that God is the highest. If you can't pray, why do you want your children to pray? If they don't see that when there's an issue, you have a God that you call on, why do you think they will call on God? Why don't you think they will look for other options? He says that he may command his children. Is it that he may suggest to his children? Command. Instruct. Because these days now, children, you can't tell them anything, no. In school, all these Oyibo people, Western world, they say you can't tell your children no. It will affect their self-esteem. They say we can't tell them no. So if the child wants to put hand in fire, it's exploration. Allow him to explore. When he puts his hand in the fire, me, I can't go to hospital, so you will not put your hand in fire. There's nothing wrong with no. No is a beautiful thing. I heard no a lot in my life, so I value yes. They say we cannot beat our children. Bible says foolishness abounds in the child. But the rod of what? Correction. There's a rod of correction. Not the rod of wickedness, so. Not the rod of hot temper. What is the motive behind the rod is what makes the rod important. It's a rod of correction. Say if you spare the rod, you spoil the child. And let me tell you, there's nothing wrong with children crying. My mother-in-law is a retired matron. She told me one day, she said, you know the kid children, when they open their lung, they expand their lung. If they okay, leave and make it cry. And let me tell you, if your children don't cry, you're an adult, you will cry. So it's better that they cry now and learn the right thing. So all the people that are giving you all this advice that is contrary to the scriptures, look at their own children, how their own children. God says, I want godly seed. I want godly seed. There's a way, there's a godly way to raise children. I'm not saying go around and just beating your children. But when I look at all these evil people, the child will just come in, Bob, don't be silly. Hey. I can't take it. It's when I think of all these things here. Sometimes I don't be tempted to just go and just beat my children down. Just let me just beat you down before you offend. So that even when you go to school, I had a friend that when she was in secondary school, she got back to school and that, you know, at the beginning of, I don't know how secondary schools are now, but at the time when you get back to school, you guys will do labor, you clear grass and all that. Now they don't do other things, so. Or they have gardeners who mow the lawn, other things. They don't do other things again. So they got to school and they told them to cut grass. And then all the people in her class were like, I'm not cutting grass. Everybody now disappeared. It was a day school. So they all just ran home. She too, she followed them. Unfortunately for her, mother was at home when she ran into her house. Because all the children dispersed and went home because they don't want to cut grass. So she got home. And her mother said, what are you doing? Why are you back now? She said, that they wanted to cut grass in school. And so everybody rioted and they came home. Her mother said, you follow them? She said, yes. So, okay. Your food is in the kitchen. Go inside. The next morning, she was in class. Early morning. Her mother walked into the school. Good morning, ma. God bless you, ma. Say, please, teacher.
They say yes, and the people told them to say yes, ma. And what happened? Say, Riot said, say, was my daughter there? Say, the call that mother said, please, can I borrow your cane? Her mother flogged her in front of the class and told her, say, others may, you cannot. So after that day, even when everybody said they're not cutting grass, you don't see her in the corner. Because me, I know the mama way bomb me. There are counsel your parents give you that stays with you. There are those 3 a.m. conversations. You see, that flogging, it did much more than we're having conversation. When they flogged her, even when her brain reset, the God that created us says that foolishness abounds in the heart of a child. And the only thing that can take it out is a resetting. You say we should be having conversation. God say hit the rock. You want to speak to the rock. Go ask Moses how that ended. God knows exactly what he's talking about. But no, we want to Igbo style. Bob, don't be silly. Why are you such a big bitch? Imama na they tell you. Mama we born now. There's one series they do on TV where there's a woman that comes, something nanny, I can't remember, that she comes to teach people how to raise their children. So this particular woman, her children don't like to go to bed in their room. So the first night she came, so they will, if you put them in bed, they will run out and go and sleep in her bed. And so she was a bit frustrated. So she brought this nanny. The nanny now said, you know what you do? You put them in bed. When they come out, you take them back and say, I need you to stay in your bed. You come back and do it. I need you to stay in your bed. Even me, we watch and tire pass the room. All night. This is what they did all night. All night. You know, at some point, Pastor K say, if them true, if them beat these children, they will cry sleep. Honestly. And I just felt, really, this is the solution. Because the woman now didn't sleep all night. Because every time they come, and that happened about 7 times, they will come out, they will go back, come out, go back. So even when the woman, the nanny now left, the nanny said, if you do this for a few days, you'll be okay. By the 3rd day, the children slept in their room, but around 5 a.m. in the morning, by that time, she was almost, by the time the nanny left, all of them, they sleep for the room. Till today, everybody's okay. But if they had flogged those children, we'll be all right. And flogging doesn't kill anybody. Maybe they beat you, are you dead? They'll say we are traumatized. Nigeria itself is trauma. It's not the one that your parents beat you in the house that is traumatized. Everybody's traumatized. Now, like I said, I'm not saying go around and just be beating your children. That's not what I'm saying. But when it is necessary, do not spare the rod and spoil the child. Because we have a lot of spoiled children. Spoiled, rotten. As they say in my place, though they rotten, they say they ripe. Children are spoiled rot. They say, oh, they're just intelligent. No, they're not. They're rude. We have children who are so badly behaved. And when I was growing up, it took a village. When you offend, before you go anywhere, your auntie don't beat you for roads. But now, you can't tell anybody that, oh, your child did. You can't. You can't. You can't correct a child. The other day, one of our leaders in church said, one of the teenage girls was talking to a boy. She told the girl that, you're too young to have a boyfriend. Say, please, my mother knows about it. So, if my mother knows about it, who are you, ma? In other words, she's telling you, auntie, please mind your business. In our time, they will rush you, then go and do meeting on your mother's head. All your aunties will gather her. After the finish beating you, they'll beat her. Say, you want to spoil the key for our family. Now, things have changed. And that's not the Bible. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. And the rod of correction will drive it far. Not near, far. If the foolishness wants to come back, when the child remembers the rod of correction, it will run far. So parenting is a high calling. So what did God say? He said he would raise his children. He would train his children after his ways. Give me that scripture back again. I want to show you something. I want to show you one of the reasons why God is so interested in give me Genesis 18, 19. Why God is so interested in you raising godly seed. Because you see, God is transgenerational. And the blessing God wants to give you is not enough for only you. That's how God is. So you hear that he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. He never stops with one person. That covenant will always outlive you. And because of the love he has for you, he wants it to continue with your generation. He said he will command his children and his household after him that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him, what he had promised Abraham. He wants to do it. And what God promised Abraham is that through him, all the families of the earth will be blessed. So he doesn't want anybody in the generation that can cut it short. So he said, this Abraham, why I chose him, is that I know that he will train his children. He will command them, not suggest to them. You know, it's not really good for you to be watching YouTube, because when you watch YouTube, they say, collect something. The English you are speaking, that's why they are children. Why is this child? That is what he wanted to wear, really. When I was growing up, that's what makes you a child. When you're a child, you think like a child. So nobody gives you decisions to make. That's what parenting is. And I'm not saying don't be friends with your, but the primary responsibility of a parent is to be a parent, not to be a friend. The friendship comes along the way. But parenting is your first assignment. It is to teach them the Bible, number one. Bible tells us of Timothy, in 2 Timothy 3:15, that he had been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive salvation that comes by. So from when he was a child, because no child is too young to know the Scriptures. They're not too young. Let it be an atmosphere of the Word. Let there be music, Christian music playing in your house. Let there be Christian movies. Let it be their culture. Let it be their nature to always be conscious of scriptures. Let scriptures play in songs. Let it use scriptures in games. Let them learn memory verses and recite it. Let it be competition among your children. Find ways to teach them the scripture. And one question you must always ask your children, what does the Bible say? If they say they don't want to do something, ask them why. Be sure that the motive is right. And be sure that they are grounded on scripture. So he will teach his children the Bible. That's what made the difference for Timothy. That he had already been taught the scriptures from when he was a child. So I know a lot of parents who, when they have children, you panic a lot about them. Listen, the Bible says we should not be anxious. Okay? There will always come a stage in your life when your children will leave. But you see, what will ensure that they don't leave the path is how you've trained them. Okay? So take me to Proverbs 22:6. I want it in Amplified Classic, then I want it in Amplified. Let me start with Amplified Classic. It says, train up a child, Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, in keeping with his individual gift or bent. And when he's old, he will not depart from it. So as Christian parents and as potential parents, some of the things you need to understand is that, number one, you must train your child. How do you train someone? They watch you do something, then you let them do it. Right? So they watch you pray, let them pray. They watch you live a Christian life. They watch you don't make church an option. Like my children, they know that it's not. The other day, my child was saying, "Ah, mommy, are you going to church again? Should we follow you?" I say, the way she sounded, as if she wanted to go and play. I say, "Ah, you're not among the children that used to say that too. You are burnt offering. Do you understand? See, you are not. You don't exist. Eh? You know that Isaac, they didn't want him to. You are ashes. Isaac, they don't allow him to burn him. Me, you don't exist. You belong to Jesus. Anything you want to use you to do. Do you understand? So you're not among the people, though. And when you were coming, you now chose Pastor Kingsley and Pastor Mildred as your parents. My darling, you are not among. What you should say is, we're in church today, right? That's what you said. And I now say, oh no, today is not a service day. Then you say, oh, why, mommy? I would have really loved to go to church. Then I'll say, oh, my dear, it's okay. Some days you can have Jesus at home with you. Those are the conversations we have. Not, are we going to church again? You know, follow. Burnt offering. Ashes. So the first thing, you train them. Let them see you. Because children learn more from what they see than what they hear. And then it says, in keeping with their individual gift or bent. So you must know your children's personality. All children are different. It's not the same hand you use for the first, I use for the second, I use for the third. My three children, interestingly, are very different. Now, the first one, as much as she's, she likes Pastor K, she's very, let's groove, let's go out there, she's very daring and all that. But she fears Kane, no? Ah, she fears Kane. But she has always been bold. So from when she was, because she started walking early, started walking at 9 months. From when she started walking, she would just pass somewhere and scatter everything. You say, who scattered this thing? 9 months old child will look in there and say, it's me. I say, it's you. You know they fear. It's you as how. I go rush you. And so, Pastor K has to tell me that, ah, no, you will not clip her wings. Don't, this is a child that will say, because we don't want her to go outside, we will lock the door, remove the key from the door, go and keep it on top of a cupboard. 2 years old, she will drag chair. Put it, climb the chair, climb the cupboard, bring the key, put it on the chair, drag the chair, climb the chair, open the door, go outside. Pastor K says she's industrious, Eva. She's very street smart, leave this girl. You see, so if I try to keep her indoors, she's very kinetic. She learns by feeling, by touching, by going. If I try to keep her inside, I will kill her. Meanwhile, my second daughter, if there are more than 5 people in our house and you are looking for her, she's in my bed, she has covered her head. She does, and there's a book. She doesn't want people. You are stressing her. You are noisy. Her friend will come and visit her to do sleepover. After 3 hours, she will disappear. I will not say, why are you here? She said, I'm tired. I say, my dear, cover your head. Even me, I'm tired. That's why I'm here too. But that one, as quiet as she is, and she looks fearful and everything, she has mind for Kano. So you will not flog her. What she doesn't like to do is disappoint. So if you say something like, I'm disappointed in you, she will try to make it up to you for the rest of her life. I remember one day, because my children usually, children generally slam doors. When I was growing up, my mother was always shouting, don't slam my doors, and that one a story. Children slam doors. They don't think about it. They are just in a hurry to go and do something. So the door will just... So my pastor said, anybody that slams this door again, I will punish the person. So she slammed the door. Pastor K was not in the room. Me, I was doing something else. I didn't even notice she slammed the door. All of a sudden, I don't know, my spirit just said, turn. I just turned and saw my daughter kneeling down by the door. I say, what happened? She said, I slammed the door. I said, so? She said, Daddy said, anybody that slams the door again, he will punish the person. I looked around and said, but Daddy's not here. She said, I know. Ah. I said, stand up. She was already crying. So I now told Pastor K, I said, this child, see what happened to her. Pastor K said, we must lead her to Christ early because these kind of children, they would think they can pay for their sins. So she used to understand. Because he wasn't even there. She's the kind of person that will say, 8 p.m., everybody must go to bed. When it's 7:45, she'll start telling them, it's time to go to bed. And they'll say, what's wrong with you? You're always overdoing. Go and sit down. She'll not come to my room. They don't want to do the right thing. It's not that deep, oh. You go and lie down your own, okay? She came back from school one day and told Pastor K that they gave them homework, and when they came, teacher forgot to give them homework. So she asked him that, sir. Pastor K said, no. I said, no, they will not like you. Don't do that. She's running for head girl. I don't even know if results are out. She's running for head girl in her school. And she came to me, and when she read her manifesto, I said, the teachers will like you, but the students will not vote for you. If you make me your head girl, I'll make sure everybody does the right thing. If you make me your head girl, I'll make sure everybody finishes their work on time. I said, no. Tell them you will make sure that they do party in school. You will make sure. So they're all different. Meanwhile, David, on the other hand, is Mr. Charming. He knows that everybody loves him. If David enters here, you will shout, he will just. This is a child that in Nazareth, he was in Nazareth too. I went to pick him in school. And he entered, and so when I came and said, David, you're coming out of your class, where are your bags? He just did like this. I saw two girls, one carrying his bag, one carrying his bag. Nazareth too. I said, no. You will say, Jesus, get him his bag. And I said, come. who are your mothers? The teachers were laughing. They said, Ma, they are small children. I said, why are they carrying his bag? I said, David is our friend. Bye, David. Bye. And anything you want to do with David, it has to be replayed. So every child has an individual. They have their own style. They have their own personality. So what may work for one? If I flog Dasa, she may answer me. If I flog David, I may harden her. If I shout at Dasa, that means she say yes. But as she's standing up from there, she's going back to do that thing. David, on the other hand, before he even shouts, she'll say, Mommy, wait. I'll tell you something. I said, don't tell me. I say, Mommy, wait. Mommy, you're not smiling. And you know you look very beautiful when you smile. And wait, I want to tell you something. I said, okay, what are you telling me? Pastor K say, don't tell her. He say, Daddy, wait. I want to tell Mommy something. I say, Mommy, you know you're the best mommy in the world. And I love you. Because I want to shout at him. Oh, the boy has planned himself. And then he will now say, Daddy, Baba. Daddy. Pastor K is looking at him. He say, Daddy. He say, that thing I dream to your mother doesn't work on me. Doesn't work on me. But you see, even before, that one already knows that he can charm his way out of anything. He hates shouting, he hates killing. Anything. David does not even want anything. So don't flog him, don't shout at him. Before you just do your face, I say, Mommy, I think you're not happy with me. Okay. So each child, if you understand each child, you know how to work with them. Give me amplified. Now, this is the crux of the matter. Because understanding your children is one thing, understanding their personalities, then understanding how to talk to them is another thing. But look at this scripture. Give me amplified, not classic. Just give me amplified. Amplified says, train up a child in the way he should go. No, that's not amplified. Teaching him to seek God's wisdom and will for his abilities and talents. Even when he's old, he will not depart from it. So it's one level, understanding their personality. But the second and most important is that you need to teach him to seek God's wisdom, okay? And God's will for those abilities and talents that every child comes with. So the important thing here is to teach your children to know God. That's what they are saying. Because once they know God, God will show him, will show them his will. And they will walk in line with what God has planned for them. And they'll be able to maximize their abilities and their talents. And that is where the real secret is. If you can get your children to know God, they will be fine. Parents worry because we don't know what decisions our children will make. When they know that they should seek God, then you are sure that the decisions they will make will be backed up by God's wisdom and in line with God's will. The person they will marry... Usually a lot of mothers are causing problems in marriages because they think it should be their will and not God's will. Train up a child in the way he should go, not the way you should go, not the way you wish you had gone, not the way you wish you had gone that you could not go, so you want to go through the child. No. Train up a child in the way he should go. Teach the child to seek God and God's will. Finally, let me deal with this. A lot of women, especially, have what we call mommy guilt. So ladies, I want to leave this with you. Especially if you plan to be a high-achieving mother, or you are someone like me who travels a lot, and you do a lot of stuff. You know, you feel like you're always too busy. You don't give your children enough time and all that. This was a major challenge that I had a couple of years ago. And I asked this question, and the answer that I got was phenomenal. Simple words. Quality over quantity. I'll say that again. Quality over quantity is the answer to mommy guilt. If you think you're not spending enough time with your children, spend quality time over the quantity of time you spend with them. So anytime you are with them, be intentional about making memories. Simple things are what make children happy. It's not the amount of, you see, a lot of parents miss it by, oh, when I come back from my trip, I'm going to buy plenty of gifts and all that. That's not what your children are after. They want to remember when you did bicycle with them. They want to remember when you did skipping rope with them. They want to remember when you colored with them, when you guys fixed a puzzle. You know, the things I remember the most about my dad are not necessarily even the things he bought for me. Can't really remember any of those things per se. It's more the things he taught me. My father taught me how to sign my signature. My father taught me how to do, I mean, my father is the perfectionist, so he's probably the one that made me the way I am. Because you do homework. If you miss one, and you cancel, my father will tear the whole page and you start again. So the fear of starting again, you better get every comma, dot your I's, cross your T's, put your foot up in the right place. Then why is an apostrophe here? Why? Those are things I remember. The time he invested, and he was a very busy banker. It's not like now that banking, there's even a bit of those days that they closed 10 p.m. That's when my father was in banking. So he was so busy. But the time he invested, the times where he would make everybody go out and exercise in the morning because I was chubby. I knew that it was me he was aiming for. But he didn't want me to feel bad. So he would make all of us go out early in the morning. And then when we come back, my sanguine mother would give everybody one tin of pig milk and say, you can't drink it. That's cancel everything we need. He said, you will not, God, they will kill you. What? Take. It's fat. You are just fat and fresh. It's not you. Don't kill anybody. He said, how can't you see how you have cloth to fit you? And my father would just be rolling his eyes. But those are the things we remember. The time you spend with your children. So every time you feel that way, just remember to invest quality time with them. Don't worry about the time you are not around. When you are around, make it something that they remember. Finally, God wants you to have godly seed. That's why I'm sure. And I'm very confident. I didn't have time to share some of my personal stories. Maybe when we come back again, since Pastor K has invited us. But one thing I learned over the years, and I want to, because I want to pray, if it's okay. One thing I learned over the years is that when God says something, he means it. If God says he wants godly seed, that means that none of you in this room is allowed to be barren. He says he wants godly seed, meaning that he has to give you the seed to raise them as godly. So you're not convincing God to give you a child. It's a part of the plan. So I want to pray with anybody here in this room who's trusting God for children. It took me 8 years. But today I have 3 miracle children. Contrary to everything they said, medicine, everything, I didn't do anything except stay in the Word. Maybe when I come back next time, stay in the Word. God gave me promises, gave me scriptures, and I stood on them. And today, because God's Word works, and God can be trusted to keep His Word. So if there's anybody in the room, not meaning to embarrass you or anything, but I want to join my faith with yours. One of the things that God has given me is the grace to kick barrenness out of any nation that I enter, or any city that I enter. So if there's anybody here trusting God for the fruit of the womb, I just want to pray with you. Preferably you and your husband. Because when I say now women go full year, that's not then they give themselves the belly. So I want to pray with you, because my time is up, but I want to pray with you. If there's anybody in the room, I don't mean to embarrass you. If there's anybody in the room, let me see your hand. Can you come out? Come out. If you're with your husband, please come with your husband. If you're with your husband, please come with your husband. Praise God. God's word can never be broken. I need you to understand that. And if you've had miscarriages before, listen. The Bible says that affliction shall not arise. It can't happen again. What Satan does is he tries to make you doubt God's word. He will say, did God really say? Yes, God said. God said that he will make you a fruitful vine in the heart of your husband's house. And your children, like olive plants, will surround your table. One child does not surround the table. If you already have one and you want more, please join them. Because there's such a thing known as secondary fertility. So you will have one child and you will not have again. And Satan will be saying, what are you looking for again? Shebi, you won't have one that you are holding. One child does not surround the table. You can have as many as you want. A vine does not bear one grape. Never. It's always clusters. Olive branches are many, and they always come in clusters as well. Did God really say yes? He said that if you will serve the Lord your God, he will bless your bread and water, meaning that everything that enters your mouth is empowered to make your body conceive. Says you will not be barren, you will not have a miscarriage, and he will fulfill the number of your days. The Lord himself will fulfill the number of your days. He says, none shall be barren in the land, whether male or female. So whether the problem is coming from your husband or from you, I'm telling you today, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that it is settled in the name of Jesus. The Bible says none. None means what? None means none. None means none. and the walls of your womb, for those who are even already pregnant and you are threatened with miscarriage, listen, the walls of your womb will be fortified. And the children within you are blessed. Which means that they are empowered, they grow, they prosper. And when it is time for you to deliver, the Lord himself will gently remove the child from your womb. If you're with your husband, husband, please stand behind your wife and put your hand on her tummy. Man brahaloko shatali abrahande gedeza leke shakandi abrana kadosa. If you are not with your husband, put your hand on your tummy. Man deke shakali amanda kalusu pregelisha yeke manda kalado shakali anda galeza abrahande gede. Church, I want you to stretch forth your hands towards them. There's something about a corporate anointing. I hear the sound of multiple births. I see twins, I see triplets, I see quadruplets. Mamba Ladisha, Reketosa, Nanya Mamba Hadegede, Repato Sukalianda Kalusha, Rekando Sumeli Kelusha, Rekabahado Semenia Ladakaliza, Rakakaya de Pahanda Maladose. Rekeya librahande ke isotolia manda la rosa Ebrahala bakalio samania da kalishe mabrahaleza. If you're in front, listen to me. Listen to me. I don't care how many negative test reports you have gotten. Listen. God is not a man that he should lie. Neither is he the son of man that he will relent. Has he said he will not do it? Our God is more than able. I have seen God break 26 years of barrenness without medical intervention. I have seen God bypass someone who didn't have a womb and give her a child. I have seen babies shift fibroids. I have seen it all. And I'm telling you that our God can be trusted to keep his word. Every promise that God has made will come to pass in your life. But it takes faith. I need you to believe. And what that means is that this is the final prayer line you will come out for. I need you to understand that when God says a thing, it is final. It is final. It does not matter how many years. It doesn't matter how many years. It can be 8 like mine. It can be 10. It can be 12. It doesn't matter how many losses. You have cried and cried and you have prayed, you have cried secret tears. And God is saying from today, your tears will be tears of joy. Father, I thank you. Because you are the God who keeps your word. Every time you speak a word, it comes to pass. And Lord, I stand here today as your prophet and I declare over your people that none of these people here shall be barren in the name of Jesus. We break the power of delay over their lives in the name of Jesus. We break the power of barrenness over their lives in the name of Jesus. I declare they are fruitful vines. I declare multiple births in the name of Jesus. Twins, triplets, quadruplets. In the name of Jesus, you will have boys, you will have girls, in the name of Jesus. And I declare that every part of your body, every part of your reproductive system begins to function at optimal levels in the name of Jesus. Father, your word says that you will remove sickness from our midst. Polycystic ovaries is sickness, we declare it is removed. Fibroid is sickness, we declare it is removed. Endometriosis is sickness, we declare it is removed. Polyp is sickness, we declare it is removed. Whatever name it is called by, we declare that the name of Jesus, which is above every other name, displaces that sickness in the name of Jesus. I declare that you are healed, and I call you fruitful today. By this time next year, you will come back, carry your babies, rejoicing to this altar, celebrating the goodness of our God. Father, we give you thanks. I need you to celebrate. Listen. The Bible says, single barren, you who have not brought forth. He said, for many are your own children, much more than that of the so-called fertile woman. Why? Because God says so. So from today, the only thing on your lips is praise. The only thing on your lips is what? So as you're going back to your seat, begin to praise God. Say, Father, I thank you. Say, hallelujah, I'm pregnant. Hallelujah, I bring forth, I carry to fullness. I'm pregnant. Come on, celebrate Jesus. Celebrate Jesus. Celebrate Jesus. Over the mic for those of you trusting God. I have a book there called Hannah's Heart Devotional. I wrote some of the scriptures that I stood on. So it's a devotional. You can use one every day just to build your faith, because it's actually faith that causes these things to come to pass. God bless you. Love you guys. Holy Grove Church.